Welcome to the Dealmakers Coffee Break, where we talk to industry pros about their success stories, deals, and market insights in just enough time for you to enjoy a cup of coffee. So grab your mug and join us for a chat with the people behind the deals. I'm Asaf Raz. Let's go. Welcome to another episode of the Dealmakers Coffee Break Edition. And today we have Seth Grossman. We know Seth very well, actually. And he's been running deals, many deals lately with his partners. And he also says he's a pretty funny guy and he wants a podcast for himself. So we're going to test that with our 15 to 20 minute episode of the Dealmakers Coffee Break. Seth Grossman, we're very happy to have you. Please take it away. Tell us about yourself, your business, what you're up to today on real estate.
Sure. Ever since I started working professionally, I was a rabbi for a couple of years, realized that the money wasn't there, but it was very spiritual. But eventually, you know, your kids can't eat spirituality.
That's true.
So went to real estate around 2000, 2001 in South Florida, Boca Raton. I've been a mortgage broker since then, doing commercial mortgages, probably done around $6 billion in the last 23 years or so. And around 10 years ago, really started investing heavily, investing in a few deals before that, including one that I'm still 1031, and it's now, you know, I think it's now 19 years, and it's, you know, it's growing 10x, thank God. But generally, wasn't my cup of tea. In the last, you know, 8-9 years, I've been investing and raising money and partnering up with a bunch of my clients who serve as a GP, and a couple of them I'm a co-GP, but mostly, you know, I know what I do best, which is stay out of the way, let them run the deals and make money. And my friends have been along for the ride. Friends and family have been investing with me for probably the last 7-8 years. You know, probably total investment dollars around 50, 60 million bucks. And thank God they've seen the returns of over 100 million and plus, and a lot of deals still going. And it's really been a great time to invest, especially in multifamily, in the last 8 to 10 years in the American market, especially the Southeast and the Midwest.
What more
can I tell you?
That's incredible, Seth. That's incredible. No, that's more than enough. That's amazing. A great background. And I know that, you know, we're facing a lot of changes in the industry lately. I know that you've been holding real estate, like you said, the best one is the oldest property you're holding right now is about 19 years so far, and still providing great cash flow. I think you have enough experience to say, what's the situation that we're in right now in terms of the market, right? The latest conversations I had were all around interest rates. I want to try to challenge this conversation by not mentioning interest rates and see where we get to, unless we have to, right?
Sure. Just you know, I'm not going to say the IR word, you know, but first I don't say we're IRR either, because I think that's just almost as fake word as interest rates. But as a mortgage broker, I'm super bored about talking about interest rates. Mm-hmm. But as an investor, I think it's almost irrelevant. It's important to, as you evaluate how much you could pay for a certain asset, and how much, you know, where your cash flow is going to be, et cetera. But the bottom line is that you really got to stick to the fundamentals. It has nothing to do with interest rates. You could buy an office building right now and get 2% interest, and you're not going to make enough money to cover yourself, because the fundamentals are there. People are working from home. People don't want to travel. Even people are going to work. They're really flight to quality. They're just going to the higher end offices, and B offices and B minus and even B plus offices are suffering. And that has nothing to do with interest rates. Mm-hmm. The same thing with multifamily deal. You know, frankly, rents have gone up much more proportionally than in terms of your buy and absolute numbers than interest rates. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had deals in Texas. We're doing deals in Texas now, and again, B minus areas, Irving, Texas, stuff like that, where we bought in June and we're up 35-40% of rent since June. That's 1 year. It's not even a full year yet. We bought at the end of June. People always need a place to live. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's the opposite. Here, the interest rates probably helped us in a lot of ways in the multifamily business, especially for deals you've already owned, because, you know, people can't afford houses. The down payments are still incredibly high. Their monthly payments are incredibly high. They can't move. And in places where there are very high barriers to entry, you know, especially, again, in Texas, you know, we're doing deals. I'm doing deals in Atlanta. I'm doing deals in the Midwest. I'd say the only area where I'm doing a deal where that's not true is in Alabama. I have a beautiful deal in Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama, doing amazingly. Mm. But I know there are 14,000 new units on, you know, on tap to be built. I hope it will continue to do amazingly. Mm-hmm. But in a place like that, even though Huntsville is one of the most growing, you know, markets in the country, if so many new buildings are coming online, it could be that at some point, you know, there will be some pressure to keep the rents the same or even downward rents. But almost every other property I'm in, and I'm probably in about 25 multi-deals now as LP or co-GP, we're seeing the exact opposite. The replacement costs are so high, people can't build new properties. There's no, the land cost, even if it existed, is super high. And so therefore, your current markets, as long as you take care of your buildings, take care of your, you know, treat your tenants well, you're raising them 10%, 12%, even 15%, and they're begging to stay. So, and that's even without doing some renovations. We'd like some of the deals, we'd like to do, you know, upgrades on the buildings, but that's only upon vacancy, and most people aren't leaving. So we're not even spending the CapEx dollars that we put aside. So we're not distributing them, you know, because we want to have them if we need them. But I mean, the cash flow has been amazing, and really the properties have gone up in value. And also, when you come, you know, even inflation, people only get the scary word. In real estate, it's not a scary word, because at the end of the day, everything goes up. Your rents go up, but so do your expenses. But one thing that doesn't go up is your mortgage. So your mortgage is stuck. If you bought a building for $45 million and you have a $30 million mortgage, and now everything has gone up 20%, so your building's worth 20% more, your expenses are 20% higher, everything's higher, but your mortgage is still $30 million. So it's actually an advantage for real estate people, besides for the tax, the firm, and all those things. It's another advantage of investing in real estate, especially as an LP, and whether that's in Israel or America, they're both treated well, especially with depreciation. You defer your taxes. It's one of the, it's the best asset class out there, so long as you're responsible GPs who aren't in it just to make themselves money, who make sure their interests are aligned with their investors, and you know, you really could do well and help you and your family, have cash flow that you never expected.
That's a great insight into real estate. You made it so simple. People sometimes make it so complicated, but like you said, real estate never dies. People need a place to live. I do want to focus on one thing though. You started in, you told me Boca Raton, right? But you've in the past, in the past years that you've been in the business, you expanded to properties in Alabama and Texas, right? You've expanded throughout like nationwide. How do you choose those specific deals? How do you ensure that those deals make sense, even if it's in a state that you're not quote unquote a professional in or haven't been there in terms of running a deal? How do you make that choice?
Sure. And I'd say the most important thing is while we invest, it's actually one of my investors. He never even invested with me, but he's considering investing with me for the first time. He sent me an email yesterday and he said it great. He said, at the end of the day, you're investing with people, not properties. And that's true. And the most important thing is to pick the right partners for the right areas. You know, I have a guy who I'm close with, actually hopefully meet today. He's based in Aventura, but he used to live in Texas. I invest with him in Texas. He's got 15 deals in Texas in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's expanded to Houston, which is, again, not the same market, but close enough where he understands it well. I don't think I'd invest with him in Alabama or in Cleveland, whereas I'm doing a deal now in Cleveland and Louisville with a bunch of guys. And actually, I think Jamie and a group of you guys know him. It's RW Equities and Adam Parkoff and Jay World partnering together. And we use Agora, and Agora is great. And we closed on a deal in we closed out a deal in the Midwest in Indianapolis, December 20-something or whatever, previous year. And now we're doing two more deals in Louisville and in Cleveland, all in the same region. That's where I'm investing with those guys, because those guys are experts, and that's where they're focusing on, you know. And it doesn't make a difference where you live. I actually met with one of the partners the other day in Baltimore, but he doesn't buy in Baltimore. He buys in Midwest because that's the area he knows. And then with the third guy, you know, I'm investing in Florida. They have 4 or 5 properties in Florida. And so even if I don't know the areas, I know most of these areas pretty well. And, you know, maybe at the beginning I didn't, but it's really making sure you have the right people with the right investments and not some guy who just like looks at, like, you know, gets an Excel spreadsheet, gets a package from, from Marcus Milichap and says, hey, you know, let's go. Let's buy this because it looks like it's a good cap rate. I'll actually tell you a funny story, which I wasn't planning on telling this one, but this is a true story. Okay. I'm Israeli now. I've lived here for 14 years, so I don't make fun of Israelis. But there was a guy in Israel, a guy who works for me. I set up a meeting with me. He's a very, very successful investor from Israel. He probably has hundreds of millions of dollars invested, and he's done really well for his investors. Yeah, he kind of puts together a lot of investors from Israel and invests with his local partners in America. But this was around 12 years ago, and he was relatively new. He had his business was not real estate. And he was just starting this. Now he's become super, super successful. But then he's like, he calls me to his office. He said, we got to do this deal. Get me a mortgage. It's an amazing deal in Manhattan, a 7.5 cap rate, multifamily. I was like, what? 7.5 cap rate, multifamily. That didn't exist in anywhere. And in Manhattan, I literally drove to his office, because in the Tel Aviv or Magan area, whatever. Beautiful office, by the way. I get there. He shows me the deal. I'm like, listen, I'm from New York. I grew up in New York. I figured I'd recognize this from the pictures, the area. I'm like, there aren't any big buildings anywhere. It was Manhattan, Kansas. And I only know about Manhattan, Kansas, not because of real estate, because growing up, I was obsessed with college basketball. And so that's actually where one of the more famous sports teams in the college basketball world is. But he was ready to invest millions of dollars in a deal because it was in Manhattan, but it was Manhattan, Kansas. Like only Dorothy would invest in Manhattan, Kansas. And obviously we didn't do the deal, but that's crazy. Like, you really got to know. He probably got it from some guy in America trying to take advantage of some Israeli who didn't know it. He told him it was in Manhattan, and he was probably hoping he would commit a few million dollars. And today I'm sure that deal, went under three times already since then. And, it's really what and doing the research, but do it with the right people you can trust and know their areas. You stick with those people who know their businesses and do what they do best, which is one thing I want to say. People ask me all the time, you've been in the business for 24 years. You raise all the money for the investors. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just go buy it yourself? Mm-hmm. And then you make the promote,
Mm-hmm.
I say all the time, I would love to do it, but I don't know anything about actual, mortar and bricks. I don't know if it's wood frame or steel. I don't know if it's going to have a sinkhole. That's not my expertise. I'm a numbers expertise that grew with understanding real estate, location, et cetera. But I'm not a mortar and bricks guy. I don't understand that stuff well. And I wouldn't risk other people's money on something where I'm not the expert. I made that mistake a long time ago trying to deal with stuff where I don't know enough. Now I stick with investing and raising money with the only stuff that I really understand well. Let the professionals do what they do, and I'll get the mortgage. I'll do the investing. I'll raise the money. You stick with what you're good at. That's probably why I didn't do my podcast yet. I don't know if I'll be good at that either, but we'll see. Maybe I'll stop. You'll be the one who jumpstarts my podcast career.
You'd be great. I think this episode is going to be definitely a jumpstart to your podcast career. I'm really happy to hear that. So following up on what you said, you said you focus on the people, and you're specifically an expert in the fundraising, like raising capital, managing the investor side, and you let the professionals do what they do. So within your profession, right, do you usually have a choice of the type of asset you're going to invest in, or is that always dependent on the people? So for example, are you more of a multifamily focused, industrial real estate, strip malls, office spaces, or are you just working by the opportunities and the people that bring in the deals, if that makes sense?
It makes perfect sense, but it's a little bit of both. And that's because as a mortgage broker, I've been involved in every single one of those spaces that you mentioned. As a personal investor, I'm invested a lot in office space in Texas, and a little different than the multifamily area of Texas, but a much more high-end Dallas area as opposed to the suburbs. But I'm always the one to decide what I invest in, because I don't commit to anybody. I'll do a mortgage for anybody. I mean, unless you're doing fraud, which I've had a couple of those people. But in terms of mortgage, I'll do it for anybody. I know I do mortgage with any of those and many other asset classes. But for the investing, I never commit to raise money for any deal. Any deal that I raise money for is because I want to invest in it personally. I've done the due diligence. I'm comfortable with the people. And those are the deals. And then I invite my friends and family to invest alongside. But I don't tell the guy, I'm going to raise you $2 million. I'm going to do 40% of your raise. I'm going to do 60%. I don't commit to anything, because I don't want to ever pressure anybody. It's not my main business. My main business is the mortgages. And I'll invest for myself. And there are plenty of deals that I'll invest in, maybe not a ton, but I'll invest in more for the relationship with the client. But I wouldn't bring other people into that deal, because I don't necessarily feel the deal is amazing. It's just for me, I have a vested interest in having a good relationship with that client, but that's never a deal that I would bring other people on. I only bring other people up if I feel comfortable that I really think the deal is amazing. I suppose if you're doing the mortgage and you're making a 200 grand commission, so you're putting 100 grand into the deal, I could take that risk because I'm still going to be net up, and now I have a client who feels I'm loyal to them and blah, blah. But you can't invest your friend's money because you're making the commission.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it's good that my money is not made from raising money. That's not my main business. Mm-hmm. So I really be honest. And I've even lost mortgage business by telling people I don't want to invest in deals I'm not going to raise money for, because I don't believe in the deal. But that's, thank God, I'm in the position where I'm not forced to do it. So I always choose what I want. Right now I'm focused on multifamily because that's what I believe in. Frankly, retail's coming back. For the right retail deal, if it's really anchored, maybe I would do that. But I wouldn't do an office building right now. I'm doing a deal that's converting hotels into more long, shorter end multifamily deals. But it's really important to stick with what you really know and understand. And you got to go with it. Listen, I have a Walmart deal that I invested 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and we're refinancing and it's doing great. But would I invest in a strip center with no anchor, with internet-related tenants there? No. Mm-hmm. You know, so you get, as an investor, you get to choose. You're never responsible. I'm not. I'm required to invest in any deal if I don't feel comfortable in it, and certainly not to raise it from other people.
This is the opportunity in the episode to do what we call a shameless plug, which is when you say how people can reach out to you, what are you looking for today? What are you open to discussing today? We did have some great LPGP connections through the podcast that they were very fruitful into investing in deals. So it's a great opportunity if you're looking for something like that too.
I mean, who's looking for shameless plugs? I would never stoop to such a level. But since you asked, we happen to have two deals. I'm working on three deals right now. One of them is just about finished, but it's a really nice deal in Texas. That's in Irving, Texas. Great sponsor, been doing it for 30 years. I'm investing with him. Probably I've worked with him for 10 years. He uses a thing called Juniper Network. So I was like, told him, we can't do a shameless plug for you on this market because Juniper doesn't compare to Agora. But let's focus on the two deals that I've gone with that we're using Agora right now. And that is, we're buying a 623-unit deal in Cleveland, Ohio. Really low per unit, buying around $57,000 a door, $36 million purchase price. The sellers, hopefully they're not watching. Well, if they are, maybe they'll be inspired to do a little better. They're doing a terrible job managing it. Their payroll is $1,900 a door. Their repairs and maintenance, I think my kids could probably keep the place in better shape for less money than they're spending. It's really an opportunity where their NOI is lower, but the deal still cash flows now. Mm-hmm. The rents are probably $200 below market. And we really think there's opportunity without spending a lot of money to really jump up the margin significantly. Which I just went out to market with that deal this past Tuesday. Already have, I think, 16 guys committed already. So mm-hmm. it's gone pretty fast. Mm-hmm. But it's a $13 million raise or $16 million raise. But that's what's nice about this deal. And then again, it's the same thing with the second deal I'll talk about, was the Louisville, Kentucky. It's with those guys we spoke to before. Mm-hmm. They focus only in the Midwest. It's my friend Noah. I'm not going to say his last name because I can't pronounce it, but it's a W and it's really long. And he's like my cousin, but I still can't pronounce his name. And other guys, Jimmy Ramras. And then we partnered together with Adam Parkoff, who's from, fourth generation real estate guy from the city, who really has a lot more money to be made outside of New York than inside New York, especially after the rent control laws. Mm-hmm. And, we've already done a deal together. We've been talking for years. I used to babysit for his wife. That's how I got to know Parkoff. She probably doesn't remember me waking her up so she could change the little kid's diapers because I wouldn't change diapers. That's only so far I would go. But we've been friends for now for 27 years. These are the first few deals we're doing. Was a couple of years that we talked about it for years, and now we did a deal last year, doing two more. We're looking at a very high return deal. If we don't refinance, but the goal is to refinance in 2-3 years, pull out a bunch of equity. We're looking at probably in the mid-20s IRR. They claim 30s. I always like to, do a little math, which means always mm-hmm. lower by 20%. Even if I feel it's realistic, that's what I'll do. It's cash flow from day one. You get a quarterly check through the Agora platform. It's great. You sign up, you put in your information. And we on the last deal, I think we're 40% above what we said we distributed in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And the second quarter is doing great. So that's the deal in Cleveland, Ohio. There's another deal in Louisville. It's about half the size in terms of units. It's around just under 300 units, but it's the same thing, a little bit mismanaged. A lot of room in the rents. There's actually a big plumbing issue, which we know how to fix. And they're probably double their water bill is double the amount. And they don't have the capital to put it and fix it. We're going to put it as part of our CapEx. And we think we can save $1,000 a unit in water bill. Now, that's tremendous to the bottom line of 300 units. Mm-hmm. That will be a quick jump to the NOI. Again, those deals, I didn't even send out the Louisville deal yet because my investors are incredibly smart because I do one at a time usually. But anyone's interested, my email address is SethG, that's SethG at CrefAdvisors.com. It's a commercial real estate finance advisors.com. We go to these conferences, people think, I'm Cref, TIA Cref. I never tell them they're wrong. But it was just like the only thing that was available on GoDaddy like 15 years ago when I started it. But yeah, it's SethG at CrefAdvisors.com. You can call me or WhatsApp me at 561-703-5269. We're very very generous on the promote. It's for the favor of the investors, 8% pref and a 70-30. And what's nice about what I do is because I put a whole group of people together, we're able to let people invest smaller amounts you know, 50 grand is, you know, officially it's 100 grand minimum, but it's really 50 grand. And, but I don't take any money from the investor side. In other words, I let them invest directly into the LLC. I don't skim off the top. As I said, mm-hmm. it's not my main business. My main business is the mortgages. Mm-hmm. You know, this is generally just kind of a service that I do for my friends and for my clients. And everyone's happy with me. It's a value add for clients. I'm not a righteous guy who's doing it for, you know, for no reason. It helps me too. And it's been great. And every once in a while, my friends take me out for dinner when the deal sells, you know, and they know I'm not a cheap date. You know, I'm not getting the chicken. I'm getting the steak, and then I'm getting the hamburger as the appetizer. So, like, it's an expensive date, but usually I made them enough money where it's worth it. So, thank God.
I love it. Seth Grossman, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the Dealmakers Coffee Break. Thank you for joining us. Check out more episodes on the Dealmakers podcast, available on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, and Agora's website at agorareal.com/podcast. See you in the next episode.